Welcome to Elements of Styles, the business podcast that trades in scarce thinking for community, conversation, and ideas in abundance. Each week, I, Mark Styles, sit with professionals and entrepreneurs, both local and global, and learn how they each add value to their communities, their partners, and their teams. Please enjoy. We have two guests in the studio. We have a gentleman that I recently met at a networking event. And I went to this one event and I sat next to our guest, Eric. And I said, Eric, so what do you do? We started talking and he told me what he did. And I was absolutely fascinated by his stories. And we're going to share a lot of those with you today. But he's created a company here, right here on the South Shore, called South Shore Outdoors. And I'll let him share a lot about what they do, but I started talking to him. I said, wait a second, South Shore Outdoors, are you affiliated? Did you do a joint venture with the recreation department in Marshfield and have young students do an after-school program? And he said, yeah. Why? Well, I think my son's in your program. So our other guest is Timmy Styles is in the studio today. To talk about some of his experiences with Eric's group and his adventures and all that. So without further ado, Eric,
Hello, welcome everybody. To
the show.
Thank you.
So Eric, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're doing and some of your background. It's Eric Goodwin of South Shore Outdoors.
It is, yeah. It's a little bit about my background. Where do I start? Do I start when I was 8 years old?
Yeah,
and
why not?
Climbing around in the trees and the ponds? Or 6 years ago when I moved to the area and met my wife and married her and started a family and really found a home here in Marshfield. That's a hard decision.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I really thank you for bringing me on the show. It was really nice to meet you. And it was serendipitous that we had your son in the Trail Rangers program. He was in the Junior Rangers program, the Junior Hikers program. It was a lot of fun. We're looking forward to doing that a little bit more in the coming winter and spring. But I moved down here to the South Shore about 6 years ago after I met my now wife. And we started our family together. And what I found when I got here, I was really shocked by, honestly. I came from about 15, 16 years of outdoor guiding in one form or another across the country and even a little bit internationally. And it was almost like I was giving up when I moved to the South Shore. I was giving up on the outdoors because I was moving to a suburb of Boston, really.
Yeah.
But then I got here and was blown away. It took me back on my heels, and it took me a while to understand what we had in front of us here in Marshfield. And I'm still blown away on a weekly basis by what
I found. So what do we have? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, we have 2,500 plus acres of conservation land just in this town. The South Shore has something like 13,000 plus acres.
Wow.
And that's the small view of our South Shore, right? Not if we're including Milton and all those other places, depending on.
So when you say conservation land, you mean what?
Yeah, so these are all pieces of land, acreage that's been set aside for conservation, whether it's conservation departments or sometimes there's other town departments that have oversight over them, or even like the trustees or the Wildlands Trust or some local nonprofits or the Audubon. They all have trails and maintain lands, and they're all accessible to the public. Some of them for a nominal fee or a donation to the organization, which I highly suggest folks do when they visit those properties, but many of them for free. In a day and age where we pay so much for everything, these hundreds of miles of trails are just here for free for everybody, and they're so accessible.
And they're beautiful.
Oh my gosh. You know, I spent a couple decades chasing the wilderness and chasing animals and chasing people and learning from animals and learning from people in the wilderness. And then finally I got to a place where I was just with nature and with people in nature. And I always thought that that was going to top off my experience, and it didn't. I'm so happy that it didn't. And that's why I didn't hesitate to start South Shore Outdoors here in Marshfield, because I realized what we've got here. And I really hope that I can play a function in helping other people to experience it and help them to break down any barriers that are around them to get out and even just give a try on a local trail or try a new sport, whether it's snowshoeing, cross country, or anything like that. It's so good for you.
So folks, you know, in our everyday life, right? So we go to work, we get in into traffic, or we get to the office and we're indoors, and we get into a certain routine that we have, and I'm in that routine. I said to Eric, I said, hey, you want to get together for a cup of coffee and, you know, let's talk about things. And that's the routine. That's the normal course of how I conduct business on a given day, a lunch, a coffee, a in-office meeting, what have you. And he says, you know, I'm definitely available on Wednesday, but what do you think about if we maybe connected up at the trailhead of one of the trails in Marshfield? I said, you know what? That's a tremendous idea. So 10 o'clock yesterday morning, we met at the trailhead at, what was the name of the trail?
It's Daniel Webster's Wilderness down in the south part of town by the Council on Aging. Wonderful trail, great history too.
So coaching baseball down at the rec fields for over 10 years, had no idea that this trail even existed. And there's miles and miles of beautiful trails. So as we're walking and talking and catching up, and he's just showing me the corridors of these trails and the histories of these trails, we stop at a rock and I said, what is that? You know, what's the purpose of that? And you know, tell our listeners where we were.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's a bit overwhelming as a outdoor guide to come into the town of Marshfield, because you realize that the hefty burden on your shoulders, it's not a burden really though, it's a mission, and it's something that I hope I can honor for this town. But the history of this town is the history of America. The history of this area is the history of all of us. And it's not just a trail walk when you walk on the South Shore, especially in Marshfield. It's a history walk as well, and that's what we found, right? And Daniel Webster's Wilderness, when you take off from the trail by the Council on Aging, you head on down by the ball fields, and halfway in between you're in a place called Cherry Hill. Beautiful little pond down below that, which I still have to figure out what kind of fish are in there. Mm. But right on top of Cherry Hill, there's a granite marker that I stood on and you were asking about. And there used to be another marker there that marked Daniel Webster's last speech before he passed. I think we went over the days, 1850s or something. And it was mere months before he passed, given that he was Secretary of State, a senator, and all these other things. Man, I can imagine, if you think about that time in history, the small community that must have been around him and known his name and listened when he spoke in this town, and knowing that he was getting towards the end of his days, I wonder who showed up for that talk. I wonder what was in his mind giving that talk. Was he just legacy seeking? Was it something beyond that? Was it his last word as a public servant, you know?
And that was something special about the moment of being outside, right? The imagination starts to open up, right? I'm not sitting in a conference room talking to you in a stale area, and maybe my cell phone is there. We're out in the wilderness. We're sitting there, and all of a sudden you just kind of, you close your eyes for a second and you picture what it was like back in 1853, right? That opening and what our society was like then. You know, it was a very highly agricultural community. Word got out somehow. I don't really even want to guess as to how the word traveled out that Daniel Webster was giving this last speech. And you know, if I'm living in Marshfield 1853, you're darn right, I'm going to get there, right? I'm going to get there and listen to what Mr. Webster has to say on his last speech. And the town community joined together in that area, and you could kind of see how they would have congregated, you know, where he gave the speech versus where the people would have sat. And, you know, you don't get that unless you're outside, you know? And that's the beauty of what I think you're creating here, and it is in such need right now. I have three children, one here who's experiencing what you're doing, but I know there's a struggle with parents like myself that, you know, there's screens, you know, and there's video gaming, and there's this, and we feel as though they're not out there as much as they should be. So what do you think? What are we going to do here?
Yeah, you know, I have a couple children myself, ranging in ages from very young and just heading into junior high, and the screens are certainly a prescient issue. It's an issue of control. It's an issue of enjoyment. It's so many different issues, peer pressure. It's the new thing, right? When I was younger, I remember Nintendo, right? Nintendo came out, and all of a sudden, it was about who had the Nintendo.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the rules came out when you could play Nintendo or not, right? And I do believe that screens are something we have to be paying attention to. There's a lot of dramatized information about screens. We certainly should be paying attention to them. I don't believe we should be fearing them yet. We should be looking at how we integrate them into our lives in a responsible, positive way. And we see that now with traditions of people sitting at dinner now, and they put the screens in the middle as a commitment to one another to engage.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do too. That commitment to engage isn't something you do passively. You have to be in your active mind and decide that that's the path you want to go down until you turn your whole self into that kind of person that's always engaged, which is a very hard thing to do in our modern lives as we, you know, struggle with paying bills and everything that comes along with enjoying our families and all those wonderful things. So it's a really big issue, but one that I hope drives people to think about recreation, but I would encourage people not to be, to get into recreation and outdoor recreation because of screens.
Okay.
Because I'm not that guy that tells you to turn your screens off when you get out there, because there's a lot you can learn if you have your screen in your hand sometimes.
Yeah.
I am that guy that says, look, let's take a deep breath before we head out. Let's let that stress go from our bodies, and then let's remember we're here together. And let's be together as we head out, and then let's head out.
Right.
Once we have, we all get on the same page and we kind of release what's gone on that day. But I think you hit on some big issues, and it's not just the screens these days, but it's so many other things going on. And I think at this moment in history, we'll look back 20, 30 years from now and say, man, how come we didn't get on this whole green economy thing earlier? Mm. For so many reasons. There's more families that have two working parents now and not as much time as perhaps we once did to do the more proactive parenting. And there's economic factors pushing people away from taking distance vacations or long family vacations like we once did. Disney is an aspiration for so many now, where it used to be just maybe something that people just planned on doing.
So as we talked on our walk yesterday, you were telling me about some of the programs you're running, and based on, you know, the economic outlook, and we were talking, you know, ever since 2008 and the global meltdown that we had, you know, with few exceptions, you know, not many industries and occupations have really recovered from that. And, you know, certain socioeconomic groups, you know, are still struggling, you know, and you've got, you know, tremendous solutions for that. You have some programs for those folks, because, you know, Disney might not be in the budget right now. So you want to tell us about some of those?
Yeah, I think a lot of the programs we're putting forward will be probably of most benefit to some of those folks that have a bit of a challenge traveling abroad or being able to spend a couple thousand dollars to take a vacation. But there really are going to be, what I hope is for everybody, because I want to try and enliven a bit of consciousness about everything that's around us. But I'm not an economist by any means, but I think I'm feeling what a lot of other people are feeling. I have a house and a family of four and a dog and a cat and bills, and it just seems a little harder and a little more harder every year. As much as I want to pay a little bit more taxes so we can have more in town, but weighing those budgets is really difficult. And it feels like, to me in my heart, it was more challenging now than and perhaps it was 10 or 20 years ago. And the few parents that I've talked to seem to agree. It's a little harder to get out and have that great family time that we were once able to do. I know my wife works on the weekends. I work on the weekends. She works from home, so work hours are when you're home.
Right.
And that's kind of what's expected from mobile workforce now these days. And I know I work 7 days a week, early in the morning, late at night, depending on what the needs are. But they're still kids. Mm. And it's really unfortunate. Oftentimes in our society, we have to have a trade-off to make the money that we'd like to make to maintain our lifestyles. We often have to give up a bit of what we wanted to do or what we envisioned ourselves doing, a little bit of our passion. And that's what I'm trying to do with South Shore Outdoors, is not give up on my passion and see if I can support my family with it and provide services that will strengthen our communities going forward. And the Trail Rangers program that Timmy did was part of it. But what I hope to roll out in the next couple of years is some more staycation options and some more wonderful local recreation options that are accessible to folks, that are very affordable and just right out their backyard. And one of the pieces of feedback we've got from some of the parents is saying, look, since my child has been in your your program, we started using the trails as a family. Yeah. And that's what I'm here for. That's why I want to do this. I hope to come out of here 25 years from now when I'm looking to retire. And, you know, I'm looking to look back and say, you know, that generation of folks that enjoys the wilderness, the outdoors a little bit more now, they're a little bit more healthy and a little bit more happy now. I had a hand in that.
Yeah.
And I can be proud of that. Yeah. And the staycations, I think, is a big part of it. You know, you can come for 2 or 3 days down to the South Shore and have outdoor experiences like you were in Colorado or Northern Maine. That's what I'm talking
really?
About. When we have isolation on the South Shore. You can be on the South River. You can be 400 yards from 10 houses. You can't see any of them and you can't hear any of them, but you can see a snowy egret. You can feel the push of the river on your boat as you turn into an eddy. You can look forward to that granola bar coming around the corner because you're sweating and you're enjoying your friends with you. The options around here really are amazing, especially given the vastness of the trail system here in Marshfield. There really is a lot, and I think over the coming years, and I'm hopeful that the town will be supportive of recovering some of the trails that were well-trodden paths back in the day but have since been overgrown a bit. Yeah, so I think the staycation options are going to be great for a lot of families. And we're going to have, we're working right now. We're not sure if we're going to be able to do yet, but it looks real good that we're going to be able to run daily river trips.
Great.
Here out of Marshfield. And we're looking at other locations on the South Shore. It'll be highly accessible to anyone within driving distance. And quarter day trips, half day trips, full day trips. And then we'll be onboarding some overnight trips. You don't have to go to Maine. You don't have to go to Colorado. You don't have to go out to Western Mass to take an overnight wilderness trip and get top-notch guiding services with interpretive services, make you food, keep you safe, teach you how to boat in different boats and point out the birds. You can do it right here. And I think, you know, you got companies like Levitate, you've got folks out in Canton running a ropes course, there's wonderful nonprofits and Boy Scout organizations along the South Shore that really are living in the outdoors on a day-to-day basis. The foundation is here.
Yeah.
And the economy is asking for it. People are asking for it. Our health needs it. Our mental health definitely needs it.
And we're definitely going to talk about that.
Yeah. And it's really affordable and oftentimes free. So how can you beat that?
You can't beat free. That's for sure. I know that you are in business for a profit, and some of these guided tours will cost folks money. But
that's right.
Again, you're not going to Vermont. You're not going to Maine. You're right here in your backyard where you don't need to work through the accommodations of that or the travel arrangements of that, and you're going to have that available for them, you know, as soon as this summer, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, the boating trips this summer. We already have hikes available. There's a lot of trails around. Sometimes it's hard to think about getting on the trails for a number of reasons.
Yeah.
Past experiences, fear of the unknown, or just uneasiness in the unknown. Maybe you rolled an ankle a while ago and you're a little worried about it. There's so many different reasons. Once we get into our own heads, we come up with a lot of reasons why we don't have to or shouldn't do something, right?
Ticks, right? A lot of people are afraid to go out because of the ticks. What do you tell those folks?
Well, the first thing I say is remember, media makes their money off getting clicks. They get their money off getting clicks by making people emotional to get those clicks.
Yeah.
Ticks are a very real issue, but highly manageable. Highly manageable. Timmy here probably can attest on our trail rangers trip. We do a tick abatement after each trip, and there wasn't, I don't believe, a single person on one of our trips last time around that had a tick on them.
Not
that it would be a problem if they did. You pay close enough attention, use a good process, just like anything in the outdoors. It can be scary and dangerous, but if you pay attention to what you're doing, you have a good plan, you go about it in a conscientious way, you're going to not only be safe, you're going to have a good time.
Yeah.
And you got to get over a fear or a blockage to access to something. Say, you know, that was fun and the ticks weren't a problem.
Right.
I can go on all the other trails now.
But Timmy, our other guest, got to experience a lot of it through South Shore Outdoors venture with our recreation department, and it was called the Trail Rangers. So, Eric, what is the Trail Rangers?
Trail Rangers is a program that South Shore Outdoors designed, and it's meant to focus on the points of interaction between the youth and nature in Marshfield. And the ultimate goal of the program is to have rangers come out of that, junior hikers and hikers come out of that program feeling confident to guide their own families and friends on trips on our local trails. So we can start using our local trails. Our families can rediscover everything that's in their backyard, and it starts with the kids.
Yeah.
So we have starting this company up. We had just a tiny bit of money, and I didn't want to spend it on equipment. I didn't want to spend it on marketing. I wanted to spend it on getting people into the woods.
Yeah.
So I bought, transportation's the hardest thing for kids after school, so I bought a van. We put all our money, effort into launching the Trail Rangers program so we could start by doing what our brand is meant to do, what my passion has steered me towards, is getting people, especially fresh-eyed folks, out into the wilderness. And it's amazing who can turn into a fresh-eyed person once you get out there, but that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
But the Trail Ranger programs, we focus on, we have a different skill for each outing. Sessions are usually between 5 and 7 weeks, and we have different skills like, what one of Timmy's favorite sessions was, I think, and he can speak to this, was Silence in Nature, which is, I think, my favorite session too.
Silent?
Yeah, because you got to like lay down and like listen to the nature and everything. It was really cool. And you could like smell the nature, and it was nice.
So you just laid down in the leaves and all the dirt and everything?
Yeah. I laid next to like
Sounds
a dead fun. Tree.
Really?
Yeah, or something like that. A one that like fell down.
I'll show you a picture later. I snuck someone. He had his eyes closed.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, the silence in nature, the silence in nature is really a key part. I had it on the fourth or fifth session in the last outing on the last time. I'm going to move it up to the first or second outing of the next session because it's truly important for the rest of the experience.
Okay. Right?
Silence in nature is where we learn to quiet our minds and quiet our mouths and let the rest of our body hear what nature's trying to tell us.
So it's kind of like a mindfulness technique.
Very much so, very much so. So in this particular exercise on this one day with Silence in Nature, the way we did it with the 10, 11-year-olds is to go out and say, okay, we're doing X, Y, and Z right now, but okay, we're going to stop. We're going to take 2 minutes. We're going to find a nice spot, and I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and listen. Listen
and
for 2 minutes.
Tell me about that. Were they... This is a group of elementary school age kids, right? Third, fourth, and fifth grade?
Yeah.
Fourth and fifth grade only?
Fourth and fifth.
Fourth and fifth only, okay. Yep. So a higher aged elementary school kids, but still elementary school kids who aren't used to sitting still and being quiet. How was that experience?
This was my first time doing it with kids that young, and I was very pleasantly surprised. I started out in two-minute sections. I could have easily done 10-minute sections to start out. And we ended with, what was it, Timmy? 12 minutes on the last section, I believe. Yeah. So in this one outing, our outings are about 2.25 hours on trail, 3 hours altogether between transport, gear up, gear down, tick check, put away the garbage we picked up, all that sort of thing.
You have them picking up garbage along the way?
Well, we had little bags that we like with like a clip, and we attached it to any part.
It's a layered program for sure. There's a lot of things going on. I'll try and get to that, but the silence in nature really is an awesome part of it. The way we start off is 2 minutes. Close your eyes and engage your hearing.
Yeah.
And then at the end of 2 minutes, alarm goes off. We open our eyes. We give it a second and say, what did you hear? Then we go walk. We do some other things. We identify some birds, maybe find a geocache as we meander on down the trail.
Geocache, what's that?
Yeah, geocaching is a whole community around that. Oh, my goodness, folks. Look it up if you don't know about it. We'll talk about it here in a little bit more, too. But, there's so many in Marshfield. It's a great way to get out with the kids. Look into it. If you got kids, you don't know how to get out, they find toys in the wilderness and they drop off other toys.
So it becomes a game in the wilderness.
That's right. It's a mission. It gives you a mission.
Interesting.
But then the next thing we do on the Silence in Nature is we go and we find another spot for 2 minutes. Say, find your spot, get comfy. Okay.
A different spot.
Okay. The scenery in the spots are important, right?
Yeah.
If you're in a cedar stand, the part where you engage your sense of smell is going to be very different than if you're in an oak and elm stand. Each trail that we go on, we try to plan the appropriate skill for that trail because each trail lends itself to something different for sure.
Yeah.
And so we engage all the senses in 2 or 3 minute increments. And then at the end, we got out on the pier on John Little, out on the North River with expansive views all around us, an amazingly peaceful spot. It's a little windy that day and a little chilly. I brought some hot cocoa for the boys. I gave them all a cup and I filled them up with a hot cocoa. And I said, okay, we're going to put the timer on for 12 minutes. You have no particular mission except to be quiet and hear what's around you. And they did. and I got some great feedback. And I was really excited when Timmy told me it was one of his favorite sessions, because it's pretty much always my favorite session.
So was, you said the boys, was it all boys?
It was, it was. And I loved all the boys on the trip. They all had individual characters, but we got to get them all out there.
Yeah.
We got to get the future leaders of the next generation out there. All the girls, all the boys, all the men, all the women.
Yeah. So what's the plan? So what happens now? So Timmy's in fifth grade, and next year he'll be in sixth grade. Is there a program available for him in sixth grade?
Yeah, there is. I'm hoping Timmy liked the skills that we did. We worked on geocrat caching and backcountry safety and field guide use and all kinds of real skills like that. But then as Timmy goes up to the next grade, he was in the junior hiker program. We got a hiker program going on at Furnace Brook Middle School sixth, seventh, and eighth graders. And then we hope, we'll see if we can do it in the future, if we can add a paddler program. And then on top of that, we'll a few years down the road, have enough excitement in the area, enough business in the area, we'll add a junior guide program for people that are interested in maybe making a little bit more out of the wilderness with their professional lives or even as a side job.
Cool.
Or even just as someone who's a little bit more, has a few more tools to be out there in the real varied scenarios you can find in the wilderness and in the area.
And you'll help with the knowledge of that as you rise them up through and matriculate through their your program, I would imagine.
Like it's
really
not
a leadership type program.
Knowledge is right. That's the excuse to get out there. We're going to go work on knowledge.
Right.
But what the real goal is that connection. You know, if the kids can go through Silence in Nature and say, I just discovered something I wasn't quite sure that was there before. You know, I saw something out here that changed the way I thought about something. You know, you affect a person. You affect their very identity by being out there.
That's right.
So we present knowledge. We teach knowledge. We give experiences. We give skills. But all the while, what we're trying to do is provide space. Provide space for the people to find their own way through the doorways to those moments. I just want to do my best to deliver people to those doorways so they can decide to open those doors and walk through. When that view perhaps turns from their internal stresses and daily lives or to an external view where they start to see the forest for the trees,
right.
When they start to see everything around them and how it comes together and where empathy really takes power and takes life.
That's amazing.
That's really what I want to do. It's hard to express that in a mission statement or bullet points on a website.
Yeah, but you're doing a really good job. And I just love to see people be able to work their passion, you know.
Thanks.
and it's so obvious that this is your passion, and you know, I wish you the best of luck.
So we did this thing when just in case we needed it, it was like we built a stretcher out of like sticks and a rope, and then we actually like picked up each other and like all like tried to like bring them like out of the woods and stuff.
So if someone were to get hurt while you were out on a long hike, you figured out how to actually get that person out of the harm's way?
And we all like switched off to go on it and stuff. Mm.
So what did you teach him, Eric?
Yeah, really what that was a confidence builder. Because, you know, these sort of things, how do you extricate someone if they're hurt? First of all, if you're in the suburbs, you just call 911 and you wait, right? But we want the kids to enjoy the world around them and feel comfortable in it. So the more we give them experiences, the more we give them tools to handle the what ifs, the easier it is to be out there and not worry. The easier it is to surrender yourself in the moment. The more confident you feel being out there, the more confidence you have out there, I find it's quicker that the ease washes over you. And sometimes those fears and anxieties we have about being in the outdoors or wild animals, they can be really deep-seated fears.
Right.
I was going to check a game cam the other night in the dark. I knew there were coyotes around. I was really scared.
Yeah.
I was really scared. I said, geez, I feel like I'm a teenager again.
Right.
Why am I this scared? I'm in my backyard.
Right.
You know, but those fears are real. And when we teach them how to carry a stretcher out of the woods, I like to think we put one of those fears to bed.
Yeah. That's cool. That's really cool.
Those game cameras are cool, too. Yeah,
well, you know, it's funny. I was just going to ask Eric what he meant by his game camera. So you went to check your game camera?
Yeah, so maybe some people in this region aren't quite, I've never had experience with them. I grew up in Maine in the wilderness and grew up around hunting culture and just outdoor culture where game cams were part of the everyday because you want to know what wildlife was in your backyard.
Yeah.
What wildlife, most of the hunters use it, obviously, to find the wildlife, their quarry, what they were hunting. We're using them here on the South Shore for a whole different reason. season. As part of our mission to connect people and with the outdoors, with nature, and break down those barriers of fear and understanding and build a little bit of knowledge and familiarity with our own backyards and the nature around us, we're offering a cam service that I guess I'm announcing right now for the first time.
All right, cool. Awesome.
Yeah, it'll be we've hinted at it on Facebook, and we'll be launching for sale tomorrow morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it's coming up tomorrow morning.
We really are watching it.
Backyard trail cam service where we'll come out and use our knowledge to check out the area and see where we think wildlife might be transiting through or hanging out on your property, making your property a part of their habitat, which maybe it was their habitat before you got there.
I'm guessing so.
Right. There's a lot of curiosity about an animal. It's a lot of fun to find out what animals are there. And once you find out one or two animals there, man, you just want to learn more. And what I find in life generally, what motivated me to do this is this particular project is once you know something, it's harder to think ill of it. It's harder to be afraid of it. And once you know there's something on your property, it becomes part of your home.
That's right.
And it becomes part of you. And then maybe we'll protect it a little bit more. Maybe we'll just be a little bit more conscious of the animals that are out there and whether our fears for some of them are warranted and other ways that we can help them or coexist with them in a more peaceful way. And I think that starts with just knowing what animals are around you. So we're offering a service where we'll come out and help folks put some cameras up. We'll put cameras up on their properties and strategic locations and take photos and video for just a week if they want, or we'll do up to a month or even up to a year if you really want to check out the seasonal diversity and who is making your property an actual habitat and what are they doing there.
Because a lot of it happens while you're asleep, right?
Oh my gosh, so much. So many nocturnal animals. A lot of my Facebook posts have gotten some likes in the last couple of days because of the coyotes. And we were talking earlier, when I'm talking to folks from Maine, we call them the coyotes.
Yeah.
But the coyotes are a very fearful thing, right? Because they're predators and they're big, and we don't know a lot about them. The urban coyote phenomenon has been talked about for a while, and they're all around us. And we've gotten some fearful reactions to some Facebook posts. And this is it's an important thing to keep our finger on the pulse on and to learn more about the wilderness around us so we can inform some of those fears. Mm-hmm. And we can inform our kids as to the animals around so they can also pay attention to protect them. But there's so many cool animals. But what's really cool is not just you capture a picture of an animal, I saw five rabbits, a deer, and a coyote. Once you start paying attention, you see them for a couple times in a row, you start to discern behaviors. You start to be like, oh, why are they here today? Oh, this is my third time seeing this animal. I'm kind of bored with the picture. Well, why are they here?
Right.
You start digging into that. You're like, okay, I need to know more now.
Yeah.
Then you see in certain behaviors on there, why are they having that behavior on my property right now?
Yeah.
You know, after a few weeks we're on one property right now up in North Marshfield, kind of near the North River. Uh-huh. And we've been there for almost 2 months now. And after a few weeks of watching these coyotes that come by sometimes as often as every 12 hours, but usually every 2 or 3 days, sometimes alone, but usually together.
So these pictures get time stamped?
That's right. Yeah, okay. We have dates and time stamps. So I know exactly when they come. And what I found, and I didn't know this, that my dog is locked in an epic battle with a local fox and two coyotes.
Really?
I did not know that, right? So I took a walk out one morning to get the game cams, and my dog, wonderful dog, Gus, he's awesome. He stops and starts scratching around a spot where he hadn't stopped before. And I was like, come on, Gus, let's go. We're going to go do our thing. And he wouldn't let it go.
Yeah.
And then he marked it. He urinated on it. And I said, there must have been another animal there. Sure enough, I went and got my game cams and looked at the film and saw that the coyotes had passed by the night before and found a pile of scat, which is feces, just up the trail that my dog also found. And he put his scat right on top of it. And the coyote and my dog have been going back and forth on the same scat pile for 2 weeks now. But what I found is that the coyotes were there to get the rabbits. There's a lot of rabbits because the coyotes wanted to eat them. And I actually got one on video chasing a rabbit down.
Really?
And the foxes also were in there hunting. But then the foxes and the coyotes started to compete and started marking different locations. Then my dog
got
in
there
mix.
At the same time?
Ever? Sometimes as close as an hour or two, but never at the same time.
Got it.
I see lots of animals together, but not coyotes and not foxes so much. So what I discovered is not just who was visiting my property, but why they were there and what other animals those animals were interacting with on my property, and that they were there for food, and sometimes where they even slept. So I learned a lot about my local animals at my property through that, not just who was there, but what are they up to. And they helped me understand and learn a lot more about them, and now I feel more drawn to them.
So, folks, for people who want to get involved in that and hire South Shore Outdoors to kind of historically document what's going on in their backyard, how would they get in touch with you to do that?
Yeah, well, then go to our website, which is southshoreoutdoors.com, yeah. Or you can email us at info@southshoreoutdoors.com.
And they have a wonderful social media platform, too, folks, so I highly recommend getting on Facebook, looking at the South Shore Outdoors and see some of the wonderful posts that they have. And it's just, it's mind-blowing, because it's really mind-opening, right? Because in our everyday routine life, we're not getting out into the wilderness as much as we should. And, you know, another thing that we talked about on our walk yesterday was some of these forward-thinking doctors, right? We talked about how, you know, people have stresses and they have anxieties, and some are being prescribed medication. But you've mentioned that some doctors are actually prescribing the outdoors.
They are, and it's a really exciting thing. It's almost a little sad in a way that we've gotten to this far, but that's, you know, that's who we are. We got to own it, and right. Let's move forward in as positive way as we can. But some of the doctors are coming around to that. They can only doctors have a hard road to hoe in our in our society, but there's a few of them out there, and many of them out there that are really pushing the limits on what's best for citizens, and not just what's capable and what's easy to do within their systems. And one of those doctors has started prescribing a certain amount of time outdoors, and she's working with her clinic to make sure that the travel is there so they can get people to the outdoors instead of pharmaceuticals. And it's not just for physical health. It's not just because America's number one burden of disease is ischemic heart disease. It's not because diabetes is so prescient in our society, but it's really because those cortisol levels come down, right? 15 minutes. That's all it takes. 15 minutes. You don't even have to be in nature. Just viewing nature. And the science tells us now, just viewing nature, looking at birds out your window, dedicated for 15 minutes, drops your cortisol levels, your stress indicators, right? It lowers your blood pressure. It lowers your heart rate. Just by looking out your window for 15 minutes at birds or trees, or enveloping your mind in nature for a short amount of time. And the doctors, the data's there now. It's scientific fact now, thank goodness. And now let's move on to the next steps, where we turn our healthcare providers' attention to prevention.
Yeah.
And you see some Blue Cross Blue Shield covers gym classes and some exercise classes. It's not going to be long before all the insurance companies are scrambling to cover outdoor activities, because it's prevention and it's going to save them money.
Right.
And make our society a healthier society.
So what do you say to the folks that say, well, you know, going out on these trails, that's for, you know, active people. That's for the ultra marathoners and the, you know, the six-pack abs. I mean, how do we break down these stigmas and these barriers for people to say, you know what, this is for me?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're pinging off the six-pack abs there, and he knows.
I took it off his tagline.
Our host, yeah. We have a little, one of our little unofficial taglines is it's not about six-pack abs and snow-covered peaks. It's about love handles and what's in your backyard. I wouldn't be climbing any snow-covered peaks with six-pack abs anytime soon. That's the one layer, right? We see what we see about the outdoors in our media and popularized shows, and it makes it feel unreachable. It makes it feel like you gotta get on an airplane, hire a guide, when you really don't. But really, the next level down that I'm trying to get to is to get people onto those trails. Like, yeah, it's a trail. Great. It's a trail walk. Sure, I did it. I'm done. Thanks.
Right.
I saw a nice bird. That was great. Yeah. But if we can even provide 1 minute, 30 seconds of a time where that person can have some introspection and quiet their mind and see the same bird differently than they did before, or even have a new thought about their child and how they should approach an issue with their child, just 4 seconds to reflect on how a hug from their husband or wife really was a positive thing in their life that day. That's it. they're going to love the outdoors.
That's right.
They're going to love being on the trail. They're going to have discovered why it's important to be there. It's not because there's a great ice cream place next to it, though I'm not against that.
Right.
It's not because you got the coolest gear and you showed everyone that you've got the coolest gear and you're really good at using it. It's because that trail then, once you have that experience, that trail becomes part of you.
Right.
It becomes part of your lived experience, and it becomes part of your story, and then it becomes a deeper part of our community, and then our whole community can start to realize that as a group and not just individuals, and that really gets me excited.
So we talked about the trail up on Webster Street. Where are some of the other trails?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we have the North River. Our administrator, our conservation administrator, loves to call it the North River Management Unit, and it really is. It's massive amount of trails. And the town only needs to, hopefully sometime in the next couple decades, acquire one more piece of property, and it'll have a huge contiguous bunch of lands, five or six huge properties. You can go all day in, mountain biking and hiking right along the North River. There's several of them up there, but I would highly encourage people to go to the Recreational Trails Committee website on the town homepage for all the trail maps.
So how do they find that?
Yeah, so the Town of Marshfield website. Mm-hmm. And if you go right under there, there's a Recreational Trails Committee button under the committee structure. You can also find maps on the conservation page.
Okay.
But those are all the maps to our town's trails that have all the information anyone needs to get out. And they're free on there. You can print them out, or I take usually a snapshot with my phone and I carry it with me in case I get lost, which I have many times.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch of trails on the South River, and man, some of those trails have the lived history, the human history,
yeah,
right behind the Winslow House, and obviously Daniel Webster Wilderness, Wharf Creek right over by Green Harbor. A beautiful little walk. We're just speckled with them. They're everywhere. They're so unique in their differences. I
and
would highly encourage people to get them.
Accessible for all families, and there's no membership fees. How about
nothing.
Dogs? Can they bring their dogs
they
with
absolutely
them?
Can. Absolutely. 2 Mile Farm has a leash law where they just have to be under positive control, not on a leash.
Okay.
So that's one thing that's different than the Town of Marshfield. The Town of Marshfield has a leash law, so your dog needs to remain on leash while they're on the Marshfield trails, though of course many folks let them off leash, and sometimes that can lead to conflict. But I think overall, dog owners really know their dogs and
yeah,
love dogs and are responsible, and there's a nice community around
yeah,
dog ownership. And we just, so they can definitely bring their dogs out on the trails, but please, please, please pick up the poo-poo
yeah,
behind you and carry it out with you and set good examples for the people that see you out there with your dog.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe on your platform of choice for a new episode each week and share this with everyone and anyone. If you have any questions or comments or have an idea for another guest, feel free to shoot me an email at mstiles@stiles-law.com. That's mstiles@stiles-law.com. And if you are a real estate professional, be sure to check us out on our private exclusive Facebook page, The Real Estate School at 892, for content and Massachusetts continuing education opportunities. Be well, folks.